Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church this morning. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. Now, we are open for services on Sunday. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. We take your temperature at the door. Face masks are available. Our address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord, North Carolina. You can get that sent straight to your phone from our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. If you don't feel comfortable, we live stream on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. Pastor James Strickland is going to deliver a message entitled Belief, Baptism, and Behavior.
Just a little while, we're going to have a blessed privilege to have a baptismal service. Our church has been very fortunate the last few months. We've had some wonderful experiences with licensing two men to preach the gospel. We've had the opportunity to ordain one man to the ministry. And today we're going to observe the ordinance of baptism. So three important things in the life of the local church. And I'm so thankful that God's blessing our church. And he's permitting us to have these wonderful times together and doing some great things through our fellowship and more great things he's going to do in days to come. But this morning, we're going to center our attention on the ordinance of baptism. I'm going to preach about baptism. Excuse me. I'm going to preach about belief, baptism, and then behavior. If you'll turn with us, please, in your copy of God's Word to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, I'm going to start reading in verse number 26 and read through verse 35. In the epistle of Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and following through verse 35. When you find your place, you'll see it's a very familiar passage that we've preached from before many times and we hope to preach for many more times in the future. But there's a good passage here revolving around baptism here. So Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. It always amazes me, beloved, and I hope it always will. It's always amazed me how the Word of God meets every need of humanity. Have you ever noticed that? You ever paid any attention to that? The Word of God meets every need in your life that you will ever have in this life. Well, this passage I just read to you is just a good example of how God's Word does meet every need that we have. This passage I read is not just a story about a Jew and an Ethiopian. Now, you do know the Ethiopians are black people, don't you? This is not just a story about a Jew and a black man. And now, we're hearing a lot today about Black Lives Matter, and certainly black lives do matter. They matter as much as your life and my life. It's sort of like the little children's hymn goes, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Indeed, every person He ever created is precious in the sight of God. So indeed, black lives do matter, but not in the way you're seeing some things going on today. But they do matter to the Lord. He wants to save every person in the world. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. It doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are, where you come from, what your education is or is not. It doesn't matter. God doesn't want anybody to perish. Jesus Christ died for all of us, didn't He? So the story's not just about an Ethiopian black man. It's not about just a Jew. Philip was a Jew. It's not about just an Ethiopian and evangelist. This story is about a lost man and a saved man. That's what this story revolves around. Now, the story here is about belief and baptism and behavior. There's a lot of different things you could pick from this passage, but there are four major developments here that I see as I study this passage. There's four major things I see, and they all revolve around belief, baptism, and behavior. Allow me to share those with you. Hope you can see those along with me. First of all, I want you to see this. I want you to see the difficulty that this Ethiopian eunuch, this black man, had. If you'll find here in verses 30 and 31, you'll see it. Something about this man. This man was a very rich man. He was the treasurer to the queen of the Ethiopians. And the Bible says he had charge. He was responsible for all the queen's treasure. So you know this man was a man of great authority. You know this man was a great man who could be trusted with huge amounts of wealth. And this man under the queen was probably second in command, you might say, in the land of the Ethiopians. And now he wants to go to Jerusalem to worship, to find out who this person Isaiah is writing about, whether it's Isaiah himself or whether it's somebody else. So I'm sure he asks the queen for her permission. And she grants him a leave of absence to go to Jerusalem to worship. So he begins his trek from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Now, do you just stop and think about how far it is from Ethiopia to Jerusalem? Beloved, it's not like across the street, across the town. It's up or near 1,000 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And it would necessarily mean that this man would have to pass through some areas where there would be thieves and robbers and all kinds of evil people. So he'd need necessarily to take with him an entourage of people and probably servants and maybe some warriors too. I don't know. He'd have to have a good group of people to travel with him to make this long journey from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem. And he didn't have an air-conditioned car. He could just hop in and just, you know, fly on up to Jerusalem. He couldn't hop on a plane in Ethiopia and jet up to Jerusalem and land at Tel Aviv and then just shoot right over to Jerusalem shortly. This man had to travel almost 1,000 miles by chariot. Could you imagine driving 1,000 miles in a chariot? But that's what he did. So he makes a trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. He goes there to find out who this person is Isaiah is writing about. And much to his demise, either the rabbis didn't understand it either, or they didn't know, or they didn't help him. So he went to Jerusalem to the temple to worship, and he didn't understand what was going on. He never did find out who this person was that Isaiah was writing about. So he turns around now to go back to Ethiopia, and he's disappointed. All this effort put forth to go there to worship, to find out who this suffering servant is that Isaiah wrote about, and he didn't find out. The very thing he wanted to know, the very thing he had to have an understanding about, he left confused. He didn't know. He didn't understand. So now he starts his trek back to Ethiopia and his great disappointment. Well, no lost person understands the Scriptures, because the Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So that tells me that every lost person needs somebody to help them understand what the Word of God is. This is where Philip comes in. Now, from this man's great difficulty, here he's going back home, disappointed, frustrated, no doubt, not finding out what he went up to Jerusalem to find out. And now we see the direction of this evangelist, Philip. Get Philip's situation here now. God had just moved Philip from Jerusalem to Samaria to preach Jesus unto the Samaritans. Now, he went in obedience to God's command, went down to Samaria. He began to preach, and much probably to his surprise, the people started responding to the gospel. They started receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Some were healed, the Bible says. If you look back in verse 6 and 7, you'll see what a reception Philip got when he went down to Samaria. Verse 6 says, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." So you find Philip here preaching. A great revival took place. A lot of folks getting saved. Things are going great, great joy in the city. And then, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, spoke to Philip, and he said, "Philip, I want you to leave Samaria. I want you to go south toward the Gaza Desert." Could you imagine how Philip would accept that? "What, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure that's what you want me to do? Leave what great moving of God that's going on here in Samaria and go south to a desert which is absolutely vacant of people, as far as he knew? Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to do? All's going well here, Lord. Great joy. A lot of folks getting healed and saved. Yes, that's exactly what I want you to do, Philip. I want you to leave Samaria and go south to the desert." Now, how many people do you think Philip would even thought he'd meet in the desert? How many people do you think he'd be there to preach to in the middle of a desert? In a desert. "Well, yet, Lord, at your command, I'll do what you said." That's why it's so important, you see, for us to obey what the Lord tells us. It may not seem sensible to you. It may not seem rational to you. It may not seem like that's exactly what you ought to do, but if God says to do it, you ought to do it. So what does Philip do? He didn't arise and go north. God didn't say go north. He said go south. So Philip arose, and he went south just at the Lord's command. Lord, there's nothing in the desert, nobody there. But if you say go, Lord, I'm going to go. So he goes. "I don't understand why you want to do this, but why you want me to do this, but I'm going to go." So he left Samaria at God's direction. And he goes down south, and he goes in the desert of Gaza. How this ought to speak to us today. I don't know if it said anything to you, but it said something to me that I need to obey the Lord, and we need to obey the Lord. It doesn't matter which direction He says go. If He says go south, you go south. If He says go north, you go north. Don't disobey His commands. Little did Philip know that down in this desert area of Gaza, he was going to meet up with a very rich man. A man under great authority, with a great probably entourage of people traveling along with him. But you see, God knew it. Listen to me carefully. God saw that this one black man, this eunuch from Ethiopia, his soul was just as important to God as a multitude of people over there in Samaria that were really giving their hearts to the Lord. So he prepared the evangelist to meet up with the eunuch in the middle of a desert. Who would have thought you'd meet up with a rich man in a desert? I wouldn't have. I'm sure that probably Philip didn't. But you see how important it is for us to obey the Lord. So you see Philip coming on the scene now. The difficulty of this eunuch, he didn't understand, confused, disappointed. Going back through the desert, going home, and God sends Philip alongside the chariot. A third thing I saw in this passage was the decision that this eunuch made. You'll find that there in verses 31 through verse 35. I won't bother to read those again. But the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot, this eunuch's chariot. What would be the odds, do you think, of meeting a man of such great authority, of such great wealth, of such great responsibility? What would be the odds of meeting somebody like this in the middle of a deserted desert? I'd say I wouldn't take any odds on that, would you? But nonetheless, God knows what He's doing. God knew that man was coming back and needed to know Jesus. And He also knew this man needed a guide to help him understand the Word of God. So He sends the evangelist Philip from Samaria to the desert. And here comes the rich man, the eunuch, down through the desert, and they meet up along the way. What odds? Well, nonetheless, Philip joins himself alongside this man's chariot. And he sees this eunuch reading from a scroll of Isaiah. He didn't have the whole copy of God's Word like we do. He had a piece of it. He had the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. And he had been reading about this suffering servant that Isaiah was writing about. And he didn't yet understand who Isaiah was writing about. Was Isaiah writing about himself being the suffering servant? Or was he writing about somebody else? That was his dilemma, you see. Didn't know. Didn't understand. So Philip comes along and he sees him reading in this scroll. And he says to him, do you understand what you're reading? And I can imagine that eunuch just couldn't wait. Said, well, no, I don't understand. I've been all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship and listen to the rabbis, and I still don't understand who it is Isaiah's writing about. Could you help me? I can't understand this unless I have a guide. That spoke to my heart. Listen to me. Every lost person needs a guide to help them understand the Scriptures. Every single one of us who has received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're to be the guides to guide people to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus requires of us. And I want to ask us, have you guided anybody to Jesus lately? We're supposed to. Further along in this decision, you see here, he tells Philip, no, I don't understand. Would you come up with me? He invites him, the Bible says, up into his chariot to sit with him. Listen, you didn't get up in a rich man's chariot from Ethiopia with all kinds of servants around him if you were not invited. But this man invited Philip to come up. And so Philip comes up and sits with him, and as he reads the scroll of Isaiah, Philip begins, the Bible says, at the same scriptures in Isaiah where this man was reading about this suffering servant. And in his humiliation, he's taken away from the earth. And who can tell of all the great joy of what his death means? So he begins at these same scriptures. And the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. That's what lost people need. Black people, white people, yellow people, green people. Doesn't matter what your color is. You need Jesus. Every single one of us do. He begins the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. And this man understood then who it was Isaiah was writing about. He understood, as Philip explained to him, who Jesus is, what Jesus had come to this earth to do. And on the very spot, somewhere along that desert road, in that man's chariot, this man believed and trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. On one place in the scripture it says, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. And that eunuch said, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, it's all so clear now, isn't it? Or at least it should be clear. I repeat again, all lost people need a guide. We're the guides. Philip was a guide. We're the ones. That's why Philip understands now why God sent him from Samaria down to a deserted place in Gaza, because there was a man there who needed to know Jesus and didn't understand how to accept Jesus unless he was taught and shown. So you find the decision this man has made. He accepts Jesus Christ in the chariot riding along the desert. But I want you to see how this passage ends. I love the way it ends. I believe you will too. The fourth thing I saw in here was the delight of this Ethiopian man, this eunuch. You'll find that in the latter part of verse 36 along there. I love the ending. Salvation had come to this man. And as they traveled along the way, the man sees a pool of water. Now, what's the chances of a pool of water being out in the middle of a deserted, dry desert? Come on now. You'd have never thought you'd have seen a pool of water out there, would you? God prepared a pool of water. And notice what this eunuch said. He said to Philip, hey, look here. See here. There's a pool of water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Now listen here carefully. This man had just received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He understood immediately he needed to be obedient to the Lord in baptism. And so he asked Philip, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? So you see, it's always belief first. Now, there's a denomination who teaches that water saves. Nuh-uh. Blood saves. Amen? Amen. So there's always got to be belief in Jesus Christ first. And then you're ready to be baptized in obedience to the Lord's command. So this man's right on target. He understands now so clearly he had been saved. He knows now he needs to be obedient to the Lord in baptism. So he says, would you baptize me, Philip? Philip says, sure, I'd be glad to. So the Bible says they both got down out of the chariot, stopped by the pool, and both of them went down into the water. Don't you miss that. Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and the Bible says Philip baptized this man. He didn't go down in the water and sprinkle a little water on his head. He didn't go down there and get a pitcher and pour a little water over his head. He went down both into the water and he immersed him in the water and brought him back up. That's baptism by immersion. That's why we as Southern Baptists observe only baptism by immersion, total submersion, if you will, underwater. Because we believe this Bible teaches us that is your scriptural example. That's even in the Old Testament, not even counting the New Testament. So you see, we don't recognize any other form of baptism except immersion. So he baptizes him. And by the way, remember, baptism doesn't save. Doesn't save, never has saved anybody, never will. Baptism is an outward demonstration of an inward transformation. That's what's happening in this eunuch's life. That's what's happened in my life, in your life. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been baptized, that same kind of thing's happened to you. Believe first and then baptism. But I said I'd preach about belief, baptism, and behavior. I want you to see the delight in this eunuch's life now. The Bible says as Philip baptizes him, the Spirit of God calls away Philip to a little town called Azotus. And he began preaching there and preached on till he got to Caesarea. But what about the eunuch? What about the black man? What about the newly saved man? What about the delight in his life? The Bible says of him, the eunuch, that he went on his way rejoicing. Listen, I've baptized people over the many years, and some have come up out of the water crying, some shouting, some rejoicing, some saying not a word. But I promise you there's a difference in somebody's life. This outward demonstration, that inward transformation. This man now went on his way rejoicing. He wasn't discouraged now. He wasn't frustrated now. He wasn't left hanging, not understanding about who Jesus is. He now knew he was a child of God. So he goes back to Ethiopia. Could you imagine the testimony that this man had to tell the queen when he got back? Queen, you can't believe what happened to me. I went up to Jerusalem and couldn't find out one thing of what I wanted to know. And coming back through the desert, I met this Jewish evangelist. Who would have thought he'd have been in the desert? But he was there. And he introduced me to Jesus. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And just behold, there was a pool of water. And he baptized me. And now I'm a fully developing child of God. I want you to know about it, Queen. And I want to share it with everybody I can share with what Jesus has done for me, what he can do for you. And the history points out and proves to us that this eunuch was responsible for sharing Jesus Christ in Africa, in Ethiopia. He was instrumental that God used him in a great and mighty way. It's sort of like it was the Apostle Paul. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 that we are buried with him, buried with Christ, buried with him in his likeness. Paul says, raised to walk in a newness of life. No, baptism doesn't save you. But I tell you what it does do. It puts a desire in your heart to live a different kind of life. Amen. An obedient life to the Lord. A rejoicing life in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this man had the delight of his life. He came to know the Lord. Went back home and shared Jesus with anybody else he could come into contact with. So you see candidates today who are going to be baptized. I charge you to do the same thing this man did. Exercise belief, first of all, in Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Then be baptized, immersed in obedience to our Lord's command. And then let the behavior of your life prove there really has been a change in you. Let's pray. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, you leave us examples of what we're to do as Christians, how we're to live, how we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then how we should behave after we've been baptized and been obedient to the Lord in that, and then starting out a Christian life in obedience as well. Help those who will be baptized this day to take this message to heart, that their belief in Jesus Christ and their baptism outward today shows the world there's been an inward transformation. And their behavior from this day forward will reflect the joy that this man had in his life as he went on his way rejoicing. I pray today those who will be baptized along with us can continue our journey on our way rejoicing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In whose blessed name we pray, amen. We're going to baptize now.
And that's exactly what we did. In fact, we had 3 people get baptized. And from what I understand, we're going to have another baptismal service tomorrow at 10:45. You can find out our address on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Or if you'd like to join us online, we live stream our service on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless.